what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Martin Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And I'm joined by Coventry fan Matty Roper.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you, Matty?
Not too bad after the final elusive win on Saturday.
You alright, Nick?
Yeah, good, mate. In a very happy mood after another win at Church and a tough place to go in Sheffield Wednesday, which I'll be very pleased to talk about later on.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. But we'll go to Coventry, I guess, looking on the bright side with the first win of the season. But the obvious place we've got to start, Tony Mowbray has resigned as manager. He's been there for a couple of years now, and it's mainly the off-the-field issues it seems to be the problem. It's not been great on the field, but from what I've read, he seems quite heavily hampered by what's going on. What's your take on it, Matty?
There's a lot of things going on, really, and I think every Coventry fan has probably got the same idea that even if we had Jose Mourinho in charge, they wouldn't be able to do too much because the hands are tied completely. So, obviously, we've got the stadium situation, not owning that, what's now owning it. The academy's under threat. The training base is apparently being sold off for houses, so it's just awful at the minute, and obviously an awful situation to be in, and Mowbray's kind of fell victim of that, but he doesn't deserve a free ride. Obviously, tactically sometimes he was a bit questionable, and I think obviously with the poor start we had, we hadn't won 10 games under him this season so far, and we were bottom of the table before the win at Port Vale on Saturday, so I wasn't surprised really to see him go at all, but it's just a shame. I think a good manager probably could have done more with a bit better resources, really, but it's one of them things.
Well, do you think the squad, because he tried to bring in players in the summer and couldn't really do anything, he was struggling, like Adam Armstrong, I know last year, scored a lot of goals, and you lost a few other players as well. Do you think it was always with the squad, you know, he had no chance in the, you know, anyway?
I don't know, to be fair. I think the squad's, like, it's not as strong as last year, isn't it? Make no doubt about that, but it's definitely not 23rd place, which is where we are now. Mm-hmm. In terms of signings, though, yeah, he missed out on a couple of targets that eventually went to Championship clubs, so I think that's, again, where the wages we can offer come in. I think we're a club that agents will pick the phone up to get a deal, and then they'll go to another team and say, oh, we've been offered $2,000 a week at Coventry, what have you got to do, I think. And, it's been frustrating, really, but we've got an okay team, probably going to finish mid-table at best, which is a shame, really, after last year, but, yeah, it was definitely going to be a difficult job for him to bounce back from that. But obviously, Mark Venus was in temporary charge on Saturday, and to be fair, we played really, really well and looked very determined, so maybe it was the right move, but who knows.
Well, he dedicated the win to Tony Mowbray, didn't he? 2-0 win over Port Vale.
Yeah, he did, and a lot of the fans as well on the away end are very, very vocal on the day, and they were singing Tony Mowbray's Scoville Army as kind of a tribute to him and the hard work he put in, which I think he does deserve. Like I said, it hasn't quite worked out for him in the end, but I think similarly to when Stephen Presley got sacked, another manager that was such a really nice bloke, and you could see the passion he had for the club and what he wanted to do, but it just didn't work out. So, yeah, it's just a shame, really. But, yeah, it's one of them. We've got to move on now, see who can come in next and do a job.
It's a strange thought. I'll come on to who comes in next after this, but it's strange because at the last season, and I think until about halfway through the season, you were top of the table, and it's crazy how it's changed since then.
Yeah, after 18 games, I think it was, we were sitting top. We beat Gillingham, we were then second, 4-1 at home. We scored 4 goals in something silly like 12 minutes. Crazy day. And then it just petered off. And that's the thing, the form into 2016 is pretty appalling. So, yeah, it's frustrating. Like you said, this season as well, with the emergency loan market kind of being abolished, it's harder to get players in. For example, now we're kind of stuck with what we've got until January, which obviously every club is too, but even the free agents don't particularly want to sign for us. We're not that appealing to sign for at the moment, despite being a relatively big club in name. But the way we run off the field, we run like a conference club, if not below that. So it's just, yeah, it's just a big shame.
I know we had a debate in a previous episode this season, the 72 show, about emergency loans, and then being we basically said that we didn't like the fact they'd been abolished, was the general opinion. Just want to talk about the future, though, which you brought up. Who do you want to bring in as manager? I know Steve Cotterill, former Leeds boss Steve Evans, Stephen Pressley as well, rumours to be he's coming back.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like I said, it's difficult because I think whoever comes in has got a very, very tough job, especially too many bridges have been burned at the club, and whoever comes in is going to really struggle, I think. Obviously, the fan base is there to be tapped into, but in terms of the quality on the field, like I said, we played well on Saturday, but far from that, really, this season we've looked fairly poor. We've got a very young team, and I don't know. I'd like a manager who's been there and done it in League One, knows how to motivate young players as well, but it's just difficult, really. Like I said, Steve Cottrell wouldn't be a bad shout, but he's only really done it with money in this division. Steve Evans would probably be okay, but a lot of people don't seem to like him, which is fair enough, but I wouldn't mind him in. And Kenny Jackett's another name that's been going around, and I don't think that would be a bad shout. And then, like you said as well, Stephen Pressley, very, very passionate character, but I just can't see him returning to the club. I believe he's still favourites with the bookies, so.
Yeah. Well, apparently he was at the game at the weekend, was the rumour. I don't know if that was true or not.
Potentially. I know Steve Evans was there, but I don't know whether that was anything to do with us or not. Obviously, the fact he was there, everyone's kind of thinking, oh, he must be coming in. But not necessarily. It could be something completely different. He could be going to watch the game, who knows. But obviously, as well, obviously after the win on Saturday, Mark Venus has kind of put his name into the hat, I guess. And if, say, we win the next two or three on the bounce, then he might even get it permanently. But I don't know. It's one of them. We'll see what happens and then hopefully turn the season around, because there's still 35 games to go, isn't there? So there's plenty of points that could be cool.
Well, this leads me on quite nicely. What would you see as a successful season? Do you think it's just a case of avoiding relegation, or would you like to, would you, I don't know, expect a manager to be able to lead your side to, say, a top half finish, or?
It's difficult to call again, isn't it? Like you said, with the start we've had, then you'd probably say avoiding relegation. But I think with the squad, I do believe that we could finish probably mid-table. It's maybe not top half, but maybe between 12th and, say, I don't know, 16th, something like that. But again, in my eyes, for a club as a whole, that's not an achievement. After last year, this should have been a year where the owners thought, right, we've got something here, we'll put some money in, and we'll get promoted. But obviously, they've not done that, and paying the consequences, and it's just horrible to see, really. And it's there's a petition going around at the moment, Coventry Telegraph put it out, about for Sisu to leave the club. I think it's got about 18,000 signatures so far, and that's former players, it's people, very highly regarded journalists like Henry Winter, Stan Polymore, people that have all signed it. But whether that'll have any impact or not, who knows. And again, if they do leave, what are they leaving behind, and who's going to invest in it? That's the big question.
Have you signed it?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I think pretty much everyone I know has signed it now. I think it's got to a point where even the ones that are kind of not supporting Sisu, but have kind of not been too harsh on them, have started to realise now that with them here, we're never going to move forward. And I think that they've basically admitted that they're not going to put any money into the club, which is what it desperately needs. Their relationships with vital parties like the council and WASPs and various other outlets in Coventry is just tarnished, and I just think there's no way of moving on until they are gone, which is just a shame again.
Okay, Nick, have you got anything you want to mention about Coventry?
No, yeah, so we mentioned it a bit last week about Coventry. Just it's a shame to see such a big club struggling, and but like I think I said last week about the top six record getting broken, which was wasn't a record that yourself, Matty, wanted, but it's probably going to be another season added to that, because already it's looking like top six is going to be an almighty challenge. I'd say it's impossible, obviously, if you put it around together, but with all with the problems you just mentioned there, and with the general lack of quality on the pitch as well, it's going to it's probably going to head that way to another top six finish. You'd not like to think, but you're sadly going to have to think, I think. But it's just a shame, as I say, with what Matty says, just as a neutral point of view, a big club like Coventry, it's a shame to see them struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrible, really. And like you said, there's loads of other clubs as well, and it's just a sign of where football is at the moment. Obviously, you've got the stuff going on with Allardyce and whatnot, and the corruption surrounding that. And then there was an article in The Guardian, I think it was today, about supporters versus owners, basically. And there's so many clubs in disarray at the moment, obviously. Blackpool, Blackburn, Leeds, there's loads, isn't there? And they're all big.
There is, and it's not that. It makes me almost sort of a bit spoiled that we've got, obviously, a wealthy chairman who's been a supporter all his life. So maybe we should be a bit more grateful whenever we lose a game of football, not to throw toys out the pram, really.
Yeah, like I've always said, I wouldn't change supporting Coventry for the world, but some days I wake up wishing that I could just support a normal football that didn't have all the off-field dramas that we have. But I suppose it's interesting.
The thing is, though, with owners, I mean, there's the fit and proper persons test, but I know a lot of people would say that's a load of crap. It doesn't really stop bad owners taking over clubs. But what can we do to stop? Like, what can you do about it? It's a difficult position. You know, if people have got the money to buy a club, how can you enforce it so that they own the club well, in a fan's opinion?
I don't really know, to be honest. Like you said, it's difficult to govern, isn't it? If they've not technically broken any rules in the past or don't look at any a bit dodgy at all, then it's hard to really say no to them. But I think what should happen is they should have to outline their plans and what they're expecting to do. And if they don't fulfil certain things, like, for example, Withers and this supposed new stadium that was going to be built 2-3 years ago after we moved to Northampton, that hasn't come on. Stuff like that should be ringing alarm bells. And now, like I said, they're about putting the training ground, which is Wrighton, which Jimmy Hill kind of built and got going. They're trying to sell that for housing. What will we have left? Just things like that, I think they should just monitor a bit more closely. But they seem powerless into what they can do, which is, again, it's very disgusting.
The owners, the only thing that makes the owners see sense is if the fans don't turn up to games, and it has to go a long way for fans not to turn up. You know, you see it in the extreme places. You brought up Blackpool before, but the owners have to do a lot wrong for it to get that bad.
Yeah, I think we've got a boycott that's been arranged for the 22nd of October against Rochdale at the Reaper. Like you say, whether people will boycott that or not is yet to be seen. I'm personally going to go to the ground, see how many are actually doing it, and if it's en masse, I'll stay outside. If it's only 10 people doing it, then I'll go in. But like you said, it's got that bad at Coventry now. We've got another protest, the joint protest when we play Charlton away, which is in a week or two. Obviously, they're in a lot of crap as well at the minute. So yeah, there's plenty of things planned, but they just don't seem to listen or care.
All right. Well, we'll move on to our Football League roundup. We'll start with the Championship, and I think the biggest news to come out of the weekend came out today. Roberto Di Matteo has been sacked as Aston Villa boss. So Villa have got one win all season. Do we think it's a bit early to be sacking him? Or?
Yeah. No, I think probably about the right time. I mean, you just look at the money, the budget, everything Villa have got at that club, going through the strike power. So I think it's probably the correct study. They could have given him time, but then had he not picked up, then they could be potentially out of the playoff race. So no, I think it's the correct time, and just before an international break. So they've got. So I think that should be accepted. It's definitely the right time. And it wasn't at the start of the season. People wouldn't have said it's a bad appointment. Demon say he's got a good record with West Brom in this division, but it just hasn't worked out. And you can add him to the list of managers at that football club that it hasn't worked out for. But I think with some of the names linked with the setup Villa have got and everything going for them, I think that they'll certainly get a good man. And I think the ideal choice probably would like to be Steve Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, been there, done it, won it with Hull last year, and he's obviously done it with Hull before in this league. So I think Steve Bruce would be the ideal candidate for them. if they can get him in or not. But no, I think it's a club that will certainly get a lot of interest as well for the management side. I think I don't think Villa fans need to panic yet. And I think they should actually be pretty happy that the owners have actually made a decision at this time, because so they could have let it run for another couple of months, and then they could be potentially out of a title race altogether, and even in a relegation battle. So they're still early, so if they can get the right man in and pick up some results before Christmas, they can salvage their season.
I guess that's assuming Steve Bruce, though, doesn't become the England manager, as some are saying may happen.
Well, we can only hope.
Just want to say, though, back to Di Matteo, do you think he was a bit unlucky to draw so many games? He got, like, 7 draws, out of 11 games. And he drew against decent sides. I think, you know, there's an argument that perhaps he was a bit unlucky.
You can say unlucky, or in football, I don't believe that word in football. Over a course of a season, you might say there's some games he was a bit unlucky, but overall, you can look at it. They're 19th in the league, and that's not good enough for that size, that football club, with the money budget they've got. One win all season is just unacceptable. I think going into your second international break, yes, as you said, there could have been potential unluck in some games, but no, I think, as I say, with the size of that club, you can't go around blaming it on luck or anything, and you've got to take responsibility. And as I say, 19th in the league is just not good enough for this stage of the season.
Okay. The thing is, quite often it's fine margins in football, and obviously it's just one goal that would win those draws, basically. Yeah, but I think he's too defensive. He played too defensive for a club like Aston Villa. I'm not their biggest fan, obviously, being a Coventry fan, but massive club. When they're playing the likes of Rotherham, they need to take the game to those teams, not sit back and kind of just look reserved and a bit lax in their play. They need to really get in people's faces, and they weren't doing that. And they just made it too easy for teams, really.
On paper, they do have a very good side, as Nick said. Do you think there is a possibility they can, you know, get back up this season, you know, get playoffs, say?
I think absolutely. I mean, the squad they've got, I think it's a very good squad on paper. I think it's a very good squad on paper. So if they can get a man like Steve Bruce or other names, even McCarthy, just think of the main names who have been linked. I think that they'll certainly be right. I think they need a manager who's going to come and give them a bit of a kick up the arse. And I think they can easily kick on, and so I don't think the playoff spot is certainly beyond the reach. I mean, they're 10 points off one. If you said it 10 points off in March, you would say it's going to be difficult, but there's still plenty of football, a lot of football to be played, and I don't think the season's a write-off. As I say, had they let it drag on for another couple of months, then they could have made a mistake then, and it could be potential over, but so that they, in my opinion, they've made the sacking at the absolute correct time.
Okay.
And I think they can get a manager in that knows the league well, and I think that it's certainly not too late to salvage the season.
We'll go on to we'll look at Derby County. Nigel Pearson's still suspended at Derby. We're not sure why. The rumour is he's also involved in the same corruption scandal which Sam Allardyce and many other managers are, but I don't know for sure. That's just a rumour, and it could be because of the poor performances. But Chris Powell's got 4 points in 6 games, and 4 points out of 6, sorry, in his 2 games. It could have been 6. Late equaliser for Reading at the weekend. He's done all right. Derby are out the relegation zone, so it's all looking good.
Yeah, Chris Powell's probably actually would be the perfect caretaker manager to hold the fort really for a while. He's very calm. He's actually a pretty good manager, actually. I thought he always did pretty well at Charlton when he was there, and pretty harsh down there. I mean, he's always very well respected as a coach as well by the players. And so he's probably the perfect, probably one of the perfect people to hold a job down. Whether Derby will give it to him on a permanent basis remains to be seen. Again, it's like Villa. They've got a fantastic squad there that really shouldn't be 20th in the league with money spent, size of their budget. Again, if they can get their manager appointments sorted out very quickly, well, yeah, they can sort this Nigel Pearson situation out very quickly, I should say. Then again, it's also not too late for them to save their season, really. And I think with the squad, their budget they've got, it'll be a dream for managers to work with, and so they can get it in, get it all sorted. Like, you know, I think after the international break, then they could easily pick up a bit of form again. But obviously, we don't know what Pearson's what's going on with Pearson at that club. But all I know is if he was sacked, I don't think anyone could really say it's not deserved. A bit like Villa again, you've got. It's underachieving, and if you want to make a point, you've got to change managers if it's not going well.
It is a strange one because it's gone on for quite a while. Sorry to interrupt. It's been going on for quite a while. The Pearson thing. It's not like he was suspended and then sacked a couple of days later or reinstated a couple of days later. The fact it's going on for a while makes you really wonder what's actually going on.
Yeah. So it's not ideal for people associated to that club, but so they can get it sorted out pretty quickly. I think it's certainly not too late to salvage their season. And I personally think Chris Powell's a good person to help the fort for now. And I think Chris Powell's sort of your perfect person.
Well, we'll go on to their neighbours, Burton Albion. I know Matty, you know a bit about this. They've had a decent season so far. Beat Cardiff 2-0 at the weekend.
Yeah, I've been along to a couple of games. I work for the ladies' club there, so I go to watch the men when I can when Cardiff aren't playing. And I went against QPR midweek, got a 1-1 draw. Probably should have saw out the 1-0, but conceded a pretty sloppy goal. But yeah, another win at the weekend. Jackson Irvine scoring again. He's been a great acquisition from in Scotland. So yeah, they're currently 15th, so they're above Forest, Villa, Derby, Blackburn. It's crazy, really. Obviously, as everyone says, little old Burton Albion, non-league team 6-7 years ago, and now probably I think they will stay up in the Championship, which is incredible, really.
It was a good win for them earlier in the season, beating Derby 1-0 as well.
Yeah, it's massive. I think there's a fairly friendly rivalry between the two teams. But a lot of the Burton fans didn't really believe that they'd ever be playing Derby, let alone beating them. So, yeah, massive testament to the way the club's run again. Obviously, in my short time now, obviously, like I said, I'm involved with the ladies' club. But just the feeling around the club and the way it's run is brilliant, really. And it's just a shame that teams like us at Coventry aren't running that manner. If we were, we'd definitely not be where we are right now. So, yeah, fair play to them, really. That's all you can say, isn't it? I think a lot of clubs do look at them and think, basically, who are they? But they've got every right to be in that division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was very impressed when I saw Burton play, and I'd say it's like we said last week on the show. It's I think they can be used as a prime example of if your club's run well and stability's good, then they can. The sky's the limit, really. And so I think Burton have really set that example for a lot of clubs down the lower leagues, and a lot of teams can aspire to be like them. And as I say, I don't see them as any dangerous of going down. I think they've got a solid squad. They've got players who know the leagues well, like your Lloyd Dyer, Jamie Ward, that sort of players. And then they've recruited well, Jackson Irvine, great signing. And they've obviously got players that have come up through the leagues with them. So I think they've got a good setup there, Burton. And as I say, I think I don't think they're in any danger of going down. And I think they're not going crazy on top or anything like that. So they're going at a very steady pace, and I think they'll be fine. And I say it's a very good feel factor at the club.
Mm-hmm. We'll go on to Queen's Park Rangers. They beat Fulham 2-1 at the weekend. Apparently, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's also involved in this corruption stuff, but he maintains he's innocent. He's keeping pretty quiet about. He basically refused to answer beyond that when he was asked about it in an interview at the weekend. But a good win for QPR over Fulham. Fulham, though, looking at the other side of it, they missed two penalties in that game. And after a great start to the season, they've now not won for six games.
I think if you miss two penalties in one game, you do deserve to lose a football match, in my opinion, especially if you're a professional football club. It's a great win for QPR. Obviously, a big local fierce derby there, and they needed it. Obviously, it's a tough week for them with the mate that they don't really want to hear. And they've been struggling with late QPR, so it's a big win for them. I'm sure they're for the fans went home buzzing and had a big smile on their face with Fulham, though it'll be somebody's touching it. I mean, I think their start was very false, if I'm honest. Obviously, I think I don't expect them to do too well this season. I think they got off to a superb start, but I don't think it was ever going to really maintain. I think it will be a sort of mid-table finish for them. I say you're missing two penalties in one game, you're asking for trouble. But full credit to QPR. I say Connor Washington as well, good to see him amongst the goals. I think it's a big win for QPR.
We'll go on to Brighton. I guess we've got to talk about them beating Sheffield Wednesday 2-1 in quite a lot of depth, eh, Nick?
Yeah, no, we're doing very well. I say it's all say since that Brentford game, we've just been sort of improving. I think is we weren't even absolutely spectacular on Saturday. I think full credit has to go to Chris Hughton. He got his tactics spot on. And it was another masterclass performance from Lewis Dunk and Shane Duffy. I mean, Lewis Dunk is that good. I mean, yeah, I may be biased, I probably am, but I really think he's quite a genuine chance of playing for England. I think he's that good. He's at a healthy age. I think he's 24. And I think I can't really see too much difference between him and Carrie Cahill, to be honest. When you watch Cahill on the telly, I say Dunk can keep up this start of the season. I think he's got a really be a potential massive offer coming in for him from a Premier League club or whatever, or even say even international recognition for the lad. And so he was the best player on the park on Saturday. It was I think the defending really has been massively improved since that Premier League game. And Shane Duffy as well looks like money well spent for 3 or 4 million. Also shout out to Wally Norwood, hasn't played much since we signed him from Reading, but he ran the game and also kept Forestieri quiet, which was key. Obviously, he's a very key player for Sheffield Wednesday. But no, in short, fantastic win for us. And we're going to the international break very happy and in a healthy league position.
Mm-hmm. I'll just go on to the other, all the other big teams won at the weekend. So the top six, Huddersfield, Norwich, Newcastle, Bristol City and Birmingham all picking up wins. I think the top of the championship's really beginning to take shape now there.
Yeah, I think you say that, and I agree with it. And I think one team that will be happy to hear you say that is Huddersfield. And people always say, "Oh, they're going to drop away. They're going to drop away." They're not, and I don't think they will for the first of the season. I think they're going to. I think they really have got a good spot there. David Wagner really does look like a great manager. Like he's on. He looks like he's on the ball, and they've got a good team. And they're not thrashing teams. They're grinding their wins out, and they're winning. I think they're knowing how to win. No, I think they'll be fine, Huddersfield, and as I say, I think they'll be up there at the end of the season. But I do agree with you. I think the league is starting to take shape, and it's good to see Huddersfield up there. It's not all about the big boys that we thought it would be at the start of the season, but are in Newcastle running away with it. I think it again proves how what a tough division this really is.
Does Huddersfield remind you of Brighton last season? It's kind of a similar.
Does, yeah, that's what a lot of us were saying. That everyone was saying about Brighton. Brighton will fade away, and then we never did. I think Huddersfield could be a likewise story this year.
What do you think of the Championship promotion race, Matty?
It's certainly lighting enough, isn't it? I know it's early days, like you said, but there's plenty of clubs fighting for it, and it's quite interesting. I do think Newcastle will go up. I think the money they've spent and. But like you said about Huddersfield, I think I agree with Nick in the fact that I think they're up there and they're there to stay, not necessarily in first position, but I think they'll definitely challenge for playoff place at the very least. And I'm just really impressed with them. And it does echo what Brian did last year, doesn't it?
Just want to ask one other thing. I know Adam Armstrong was at loan at Coventry last season. I was wondering if he'd get his chance at Newcastle this year with them being in the Championship, but he didn't. He got a loan to Barnsley. He's scored a couple of goals for them. What do you think of the guy? Do you think he's? I don't know how good do you think he is?
He's class. He's brilliant. I honestly think, again, similarly to Nick, I might be a bit biased considering he played for us, but I think if he carries on developing in the way he can, then he could potentially play for England one day. He's still only 19 years old. One of the most natural-born finishers I've ever seen play football. Other parts of his game he's just got to develop, and if he does that, then I think he could have a very, very bright future. And I don't know if you saw his goal the other week. I can't remember who it was against now.
The one against Preston, that was class.
The turn.
Yeah, Preston away. That was absolutely brilliant. That was.
It's one of them goals where if that's Messi or Ronaldo, people are whacking just brilliant. And that shows what he can do. He scored a similar goal for us against Peterborough last season when he did a pretty similar turn and popped it bottom right corner. And you can see their defenders jobs. Like, how on earth has he done that? And that's what he can do. So, yeah, he's a brilliant player. Fair play to him. I hope he does really well there.
All right, we'll move on to League One. It was another win for Scunthorpe at the weekend. They're now top of the league by 3 points. They beat Bury 2-1. It's been very good this season. Last season, they just missed out on the playoffs. They finished seventh. But Graham Alexander's come in, and he's made a very good start.
Yeah, I think before the season started, I tipped them to, I think, up third, which is not a bad prediction, really. Like you said, they've got a very, very good squad. I think Josh Morris as well, considering he's a wide player, I think he's scored 10 league goals already, and they've only played 11 games. So he's on fire. They've got other good players in there, like Paddy Madden. And like you said, a manager that knows what he's doing in League One, Alexander. So I really do think they'll be up there come the end of the season again. And they're scoring for fun. I think their goal difference is, I think it's 15 after 11 games, which again is just incredible. So
yeah, scored 26 goals already.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's way over two a game, isn't it? So that's just mad, really.
Mm.
Yeah, with Scunthorpe as well, I think they've been very kept a similar squad for a couple of seasons now, and obviously that's showing that they're a very settled bunch. And I think if you can end on, I think they ended last season on a high. I know they didn't get the playoffs in the end, but I think they put together a good late run, and it sort of continued over the summer into this season. And that's a good example for clubs to try and do. And I think Scunthorpe have proven that very well. And as I said, they're in a very, obviously, could have been a better league. 3 points clear of Bradford in second, and beating Bury, who were third. That's a stick win. And I think Scunthorpe have proven they could be the potential yardstick for the season.
Well, for Bury, it was 5 games in a row, which they'd won before that loss, so they were in some good form.
Exactly, yeah.
I was going to mention Bradford next. You know, you've got all the excitement with Scunthorpe scoring loads of goals, and then you've got Bradford in second. They're unbeaten, but they're averaging just one goal a game, and it's been a bit more, 1-0 wins, single goal wins generally. I guess, more steady approach.
Yeah, it's nice for them last season. They're pretty similar then as well. Didn't score too many, but were relatively organised at the back, and they're doing it again. I just think that they're just a well drilled outfit. Again, they should be up there. I think it's 18,000 season ticket holders or whatever it is every week. The Paddy Parade makes quite a bit of noise, to be fair to them. It's just a horrible place to go and play football. So that combined with a good squad and a good manager as well, that they should be up there as well.
I remember we had a Bradford fan on here quite a bit last year, and he was always saying that they won a lot of 1-0 wins last year, which was their. And they missed out. I think they got to the playoffs last year, didn't they? It was all thanks to third or fourth, and they got there. Yeah, I mean, it was thanks to a lot of 1-0 wins. I think they put that. It was a mental run of 1-0 they put together, and I said that's continuing this season. And that seems to be their speciality. And to be fair, it may not be pretty at times, but job done. And there's a reason why teams who do that get in playoffs and get in high places in the league.
Yeah, they're the only team so far in League One that haven't lost again. They've drew 6, won 5.
Mm. Sticking with 1-0 wins, Rochdale beat Charlton 1-0. That was their second 1-0 win in a row. They beat Bolton the week before. So it's four wins in a row for Rochdale, and they were in the relegation zone last time we spoke about them a few weeks ago on the show. Now they're 11th in the table and 2 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, they are not, one minute.
I was going to say, I'm happy to see Calvin Andrew. He's got a few goals recently. He played for us many years ago on loan. And it's good to see him. I think he's found a club where he's settled at. So, he was sort of been a bit of a journeyman over a few years when he was sort of having trials here, there, everywhere, loans here, there, everywhere. So it's good to see him actually settle down at a club. And as I said, the goals are starting to show for him. He's a big lad, Calvin Andrew. and he's got a good record actually of scoring goals where he's gone. He's just never really got settled at a club, so it's good to see him finally settle down at a club. And obviously Keith Hill knows Rochdale inside out, and that's a big win for them at Charlton, who we know obviously have got their own problems struggling. I think this year will be a year of consolidation, I think, for Charlton, due to obviously off the field problems. But no, I say a big win for Rochdale, and that could be their turning point in the season.
Yeah, I think they remind me of Walsall a bit last season in terms of their squad again. They've had the same kind of squad for 3-4 years, and when they were down there after the first 5-6 games, I was a bit shocked, to be honest. I think I put them 6th or 7th in my prediction. So yeah, I think that, like you said, that win hopefully for them will spark a bit of a resurgence, and I think they're good enough to push for top six. But like you said, in this league, I think at this stage anybody can still think they can push for the top six. So they're a decent size, and like you said, Keith Hill's a good manager again at this level. Knows Rochdale is starting out, like you said, and I think they could do quite well. Whether they'll get top six or not, who knows?
It's a very difficult league to predict, isn't it, League One? Last season it was crazy. It was, you know, each week we were doing this show, it was a different different top six, different teams would go up. It's just so hard to predict, and I reckon it's gonna be the same this year. I mean,
I was gonna say Barnsley, they were sort of down struggling at Christmas, and then they went on that mental run, and obviously lost manager, and then they continued it, and then they ended up getting promoted out of the division.
Mm.
Yeah, it's crazy. When we were top in November after 18 games, like I said, they were bottom, and then obviously we fell out of the playoffs, and they ended up getting a win the bloody thing. So if that proves anything, can happen.
Well, I guess Bolton as well are a good example. I know earlier in the season we were saying how great. Earlier in the season we were saying how great they're doing, and now, you know, they're struggling to win a game. They lost again at the weekend to Oxford, and now they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, Bolton, as I think it. They're going to have a lot of them. And I think we've also, Bolton, I think Oxford probably proved it, is a lot of teams were not only, I think they'll go to Reebok thinking, wow, they're playing at the Reebok, and it'll motivate teams, and that can be a struggle. That's why we saw over the years Leeds and Forest, Sheffield Wednesday, teams like that, stay in League One for a bit, because you get these teams like Oxford are on their way up the divisions, who are kind of confidence, and then they just enjoy playing at the stadium, and I think Bolton will have that a lot. I think we go with Bolton, it will be a season of trying to consolidate, try and sort of realise where they want to play and everything. And so I think it will be a season of consolidation, and there will be some funny results like that one on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But full credit to Oxford, so they did a fantastic long season, and they started off very smoothly, and I think 10th in the league. So their fans don't think
we'll complain
one bit.
A side who I thought would do a lot better than what they've done as well, Millwall, down 19th, they've lost 4 in a row. I thought they'd do a lot better. I was expecting them to be, you know, playoff sort of area, and they're not.
Yeah, a lot of people I spoke to actually had them down to when you do your bets at the start of the season for teams to win each division. A lot of people's bets, but no, they've really struggled. I don't know what's going on there, but I know he's a Millwall legend, but Neil Harris might start a few more results that go away. He might start struggling about his job, because say they had a fantastic year last year, and you really thought they would kick on and be one of the favourites this year, but we just mentioned with the derbies and Villas and the Championship, it's not gone to plan, and when you start losing all these games, it can. You wonder when the next one's going to come from, and confidence obviously very low, and it's getting out of that rut. And I think that'll be the thing. I think the international break's probably come at a great time for them to regroup and just say try and stop the rut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started in a very similar fashion last year. Actually, second game of the season, we went there away and beat 4-0, which was an incredible day. And the struggles for a few games after that as well. And Harris's position was kind of, I don't know, insecure, should we say. It's the same thing this year, but I think if he doesn't win, say, 2 out of the next 4 or 5, I think then he'd probably end up getting sacked. It's a club like Millwall, especially after last year, just missing out on promotion, should be pushing for top two. or obviously top six if they don't get into an automatic promotion spots. And yeah, like I said, a long way to go though, but poor start.
Mm-hmm.
I think also Mill, they do seem to do a lot of seasons. So if they lose a few, they it sort of keeps going. But then when they win it, it seems to keep going. They're very like that. They always get into the same pattern of saying if it's winning or losing. So I think obviously at Mill, if you are losing a lot, then the crowd starts to get on your back and everything, and it becomes very under pressure. But then again, in that token, if they're winning, then obviously the fans are loving it. And everyone's been pulling in the right direction, and obviously it can create a really good buzz around the place. So, no, I think Neil Harris knows he's got a tough job on his hands, and he'll know he'll try. I'm sure he'll work it twice as hard to try and put it right and try and stop the rot.
We'll move on to League Two. All right, there was another match with two penalties in. We mentioned the Fulham missing two penalties, but the Cambridge United keeper. Will Norris saved two penalties, both in injury time, which gave them their third win in a row.
That was literally incredible. I watched it on their, well, it's not Football League show anymore, is it? Whatever it's called, on Channel 5. Channel 4, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. A football game, obviously two red cards as well in the final 2 minutes of Cambridge, both sending off.
Mm.
The first one a foul and the second one a handball up the line. Just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And that's why we love football.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it is. I think that definitely, if you're going to look for a game of the day, I think that was 100%. I can really give a call. The confidence of that game must have been through the roof. I mean, those players must have been buzzing. Two penalty saves, even when we were losing a couple of men, it was a real, real grind out and a real digging in performance, a real battling performance. Everywhere we went, you can really describe, really. So wins like that can really, really affect them. Because they've struggled this season, Cambridge, sorry, which has been a bit of a surprise to me because they ended last season so well.
Mm-hmm.
But no, with a win like that, it can really, really do a lot for the players mentally. And as I say, I think that could be and probably will be a big kick start to their season, and I'm sure they'll start to sort of climb.
Yeah, it's three wins in a row for them now. But
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just want to mention the keeper. The funny thing about it was he didn't get man of the match. Cambridge named one of their centre backs who got sent off man of the match instead.
Leon Legg.
That's the one.
Yeah.
In all fairness, it was before his red card and the second penalty save. So yeah, but I guess it's one of them that shows you shouldn't name your man of the match till the game's over.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a really a real bugbear of me when I'm watching games. It really annoys me when they name man of the match before.
I always hate it when they announce it as well. It's more my team anyway when they announce it as the keeper, because you just know, or even a centre back or a defender or something, because you just know there's going to be a mistake coming up and it's going to jinx it. But no, I think, yeah, I'm sure if Leon Legg had a bit of pride about it, I think he'd give his bottle of bubbly to the keeper after the game.
Just looking at the other side of it, it's the first time Accrington have lost in the league since August. They've signed Gary Taylor Fletcher. I don't know if he's going to be on penalty duty as well.
How old are you now? 50?
He's 35. He was at Blackpool, weren't he, when he was in Premier League? I remember that quite well.
He's been around for
a lot. 35 seems pretty young.
I thought he was about 40. I know Billy Keys old, isn't he, for Accrington?
Mm.
Yeah, well, I think it's still a good signing. He'll score goals. He'll be a bit of a presence up there. He obviously knows what he knows the league as well. As I say, I mean, but also Lapton, don't forget us. They can't really afford. They can't with the lowest worst budget in the whole entire football league, I think. So I think with players like that, that will help. Obviously, help the youngsters as well. Player like that, who's been there, done it. As I say, at the top flight of Blackpool. So no. I think with the money they've got, it's a very good signing, and I'm sure John Cole will be delighted with that.
Leighton Orient have announced their new manager. We mentioned the sacking last week. Alberto Cavarin's come in. He's not a known, very well known manager. He's managed all over the place at Italy most recently. He was at Sampdoria. He left that in 2011, so he's not managed for 5 years. But he's coming in at Leighton Orient. It'd be a bit of an unknown quantity, so it's very difficult to say whether he'll be a success or not, I suppose.
Well, I think on the face of it, you just say this has disaster written all over it. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we do see, I mean, obviously the owner obviously clearly knows him, obviously the time in Italy. So you could say obviously the owner's really found the man he wanted personally. So if you trust your owner, then it could be a good point. But as we said last week, all owners, they don't really seem like they know what they're doing. And, you know, see, I think, especially down the lower leagues, you really need to know what you're getting into, and he doesn't. So it does really have flop written all over it, and it does have sacked by Christmas written all over it as well, I think. But obviously, I hope I'm proved wrong. Obviously, Orient fans, they deserve to have a good run. Obviously, it's not been a very, it's been a pretty poor start. And I just hope it does work out well. But I think on the on the face of it, it does seem like it's got disaster written all over.
Plymouth stays top of the league. They beat Yeovil 4-1, 5 points clear now. With Doncaster and Carlisle also in the top three for automatic promotion.
Yeah, this is their year to go up, isn't it? But you know, I think they've had such a good start that obviously after the disappointment of last year, that they've got to make it count, I think, and they're a very, very good team. On paper, they're probably the strongest in the division. Jake Jervis scored 2 goals for the weekend. Brilliant player. They should. I think they'll cruise to the title personally, but whether that comes to fruition or not, again, remains to be seen.
Carlisle as well in third. They're like the steady ones of the division, I suppose. A bit like who was it in League One? A bit like Bradford in League One. They're unbeaten in the league with loads of draws, with 7 draws. But you know that steady approach has got them up to third place.
Yeah, I like Keith Carl. He's a great manager, and I'm happy for him. He's a very nice bloke, as we see. He always comes across very well in his interviews, and I know he's very well respected as well as a manager. So. And I think it seems to be a feel-good factor at Carlisle, which they struggled over the last 5 years or so. So it'd be nice for them to have a good season. And it always used to be a very bad place to go. Obviously, it's a long old journey for a lot of clubs. It'd be nice, as I say, with them and Plymouth, really. I mean, they're probably two of the longest journeys you can go. So them two doing well. But no, it's good for Carlisle. And I say fair play to Keith Curl. So Doncaster as well. Then one I did expect to bounce straight back up, and say Portsmouth way as tough as it gets, really. So fair play for them to go there and beat them.
Well, there was always good news stories around Carlisle. I remember last year when the flooding and that, there was a good news story about all the club pitching in. I know they're generally quite known for, you know, being good with the community and all that sort of side of things.
We saw in Carlisle when they're in League One, not just because they're beating 4-0, but it's a nice place to go. Like Nick said, it's a pain of a journey, but yeah, a really, really nice club to go and visit, to be honest, provided you get 3 points.
All right, well, I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else anyone wants to mention.
I do actually. One thing, it's actually in League Two. A couple of games, one was actually postponed due to Waterfield pitch, and another one abandoned, but we've seen quite a few of that already this season, doesn't it? It doesn't really bode well for the winter.
Yeah.
Just what I'd say, just because I noticed it, at Newport and Notts County. Just a shame, really. Obviously, you don't really want to have fixture clock-ups already when you're not even in October. So, but no, I think that's about it from me, though.
All right, I just want to mention a story which I saw in the news today. Dean Windass, a bit of a sad story. He owes £150,000 in taxes. He used to play at Hull, Sheffield United. He won Hull the playoff final, didn't he, in 2008, and a bit of a sad
best
story.
Best ever goal at Wembley.
Sorry?
Best ever goal at Wembley, in my opinion. That was
but yeah, bit sad. Yeah, owes £150,000. Very sad story.
Yeah, it's not nice to hear. And I know he had his troubles when he suffered from depression after football. He was really missed. Dean Windass, he really was really upset when he retired. And
no, it's nice to see. He was always obviously a very bubbly character, and obviously I'm just as we speak for the whole show that we can hope that we can sort it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. You can check out the website v2football.com. You can also follow Matty Roper on
M_Roper96.
So you can follow.
Well worth the follow, may I add.
So you can follow Matty as well. I've been your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I've been joined by Nick Davey and Matty Roper. Good night.
Good night from me.
Good night from me as well.